They miss you a great deal. Our studies of the path of the Apostle Peter has brought us to the book of Acts chapter 4. And we last considered the effect of the gospel preaching and how it had, what it had on some and the effect that it had on others. The Lord's word is a two-edged sword. To some it cuts unto salvation, and others it cuts unto damnation. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 18, we read this: therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will he hardeneth. In John 10, 26 through 28, we read this: but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. So we see in those two verses, our Lord is the one who has mercy, and it's his mercy. He can have it on whomever he wants. But he also hardens. And he does this through the preaching of his word. In the book of John, we see that there are those who are not his sheep, who do not hear his voice, and there are those who hear his voice. Once again, his word is a two-edged sword. He says, I know them, speaking of his sheep that hear his voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That day that Peter was preaching, more than 5,000 hearts were pricked by the word of God unto belief. Now that means there was a whole lot more there than that, because there were some who were pricked the opposite direction. You'll recall in an earlier message, just a couple of chapters back, about 3,000 were added to this following of Christ Jesus in the same message. Yet there were also those who did not. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4, Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. Grieved that they, speaking of these two men, Peter and John, taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Oh, for the grace of God that some are brought to believe. We could be just like those very ones it's describing there in 2, couldn't we? In fact, there was a day when every one of us were exactly that. Grieved. Don't bother me with that, Mom. I know. Don't worry about it. I've got my own little relationship with the thing that I call God in my imagination. That's what I used to tell my mom. I told her that for 40 years. I would show up on Mother's Day thinking I was being gifting my mom with something. I'll come to church on Mother's Day, Mom. Oh, for the grace of God that some are brought to believe. Oh, for the grace of God that you and I have been brought to believe his word. If it were not for the eternal love of our God for us, we too would be right there in the middle of those who will not believe. We too at one time had no desire to hear the word of truth. Our hearts were as black as anyone else's. Yet he who has loved us with an everlasting love, because of that love, could not pass us by. He has said in his word, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says in his word, he must go through Samaria. In the story of the woman at the well, that means that the Lord had to go. He must go through Samaria. Aren't you glad that he must come through rescue? Whew. The fact that he must come through rescue is the fact that he had somebody here who he calls his own. Somebody here who he shed his blood for. Oh, I'm one of those. He had to come here for me. Because he had me set for a day when I would cross paths with this church and I would hear his word spoken. Oh, for the grace of God. One or more of his chosen blood people will be called there in Samaria and in rescue. Look again at verses 36 through 42 of chapter 2. 36 through 42 of chapter 2. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this outward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 men, 3,000 souls. With that in mind, consider with me, if you will, verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. Look at 9 and 10 of chapter 4. Peter, declaring the gospel to those Sadducees, to the religious leaders, he said they were brought, as we see back in the beginning, they were brought being grieved, that they taught and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection. They laid hands on them and put hold on them in verse 3 the next day. After the chief priest took him, he says to this, If we, in verse 9, this day be examined, questioned, of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Keeping in mind that our Lord has mercy upon whom he has mercy, we see that it is by the Lord Jesus Christ, and these men are not bashful in declaring it was not of them, it was of Christ. By what means, they asked, by what means are we made whole? You and I. What makes you whole? Turn with me, if you would, to the 5th chapter of John. John chapter 5. And while you're turning there, allow me to read a couple of verses for you. One from Matthew 7, verse 14. Our Lord says in his own words, Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And in John chapter 1 verse 4 we read this, In him, speaking of Christ Jesus, speaking of the word of God, who was God and is God, the one that was made manifest in the flesh, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now look with me, if you would, at John chapter 5 verses 24 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. How is it this man was made whole? The same way that you and I were made whole, and that's through he who is life. The very one that this is speaking of. The one who heareth his word and believeth on him. Believe that he was sent from the Father in the heaven and had everlasting life. Believing in him, we are the dead that shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and we that hear shall live. It says over in John 5:39, it says, Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now turn over to the 6th chapter, and let's read a lengthy section of Scripture, beginning at verse 25. John chapter 6, verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, and they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now get a load of this. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God. This is the work of God the Father. This is the work of God the Father revealing of who the Lord Jesus Christ is to all of his chosen people, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. For us to believe on the one that was sent, it has to be revealed to us from God the Father. Who do you say that I am? Peter stood up and says, Well, yeah, that's our son of the Son of the living God. Well, blessed art you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Continuing on in verse 30, they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? And believe thee, what dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread and from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. See, these people, they knew that Moses didn't give it to them. They knew that that bread just magically appeared every morning, mystically, miraculously appeared every morning. They knew that. It wasn't just one night that this all happened. This happened for several days, for several months, I believe for years. The Lord fed them over and over again. They knew that they couldn't collect more than they could eat because it would go bad the next day. How could they say this was a bread that was given to them of their fathers? Yet they did, and our Lord says, No, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. How is this man made whole? He's made whole by the same way you and I are, through the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Through the revelation of what our Lord has done for us. For the revelation of where he is right now, sitting on his throne, working all things out according to the counsel of his own will. Continue on, verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Remember, we began talking this morning about this gospel being a two-edged sword. All these people had followed after the Lord looking for him because they were hungry. And then when he came to them and told them who he was, what he was there for, and where he was going to be, they hated him. But I said unto you that you also have seen me, in verse 36, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews murmured. See what I told you? Remember the statement I just made? Not all believe. Look at this. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? This is just like those when Peter had answered. Some of the disciples said, Well, you may be, some of the people say you're a prophet. Some of the people say you're Isaiah, Jeremiah. The nature of men is to make Christ out like men. That is our nature. That's why there's so many different religious cults in today's world who claim that they follow Jesus, but they follow a Jesus of their own imagination, a Jesus that looks like men. This very one who made the man whole is God Almighty in the flesh. He's not like men at all, except for that He walked in flesh for a time so that He could take our sins upon Him, take those sins to the cross, take those sins into the grave and leave them there for our sakes, that we would be made righteous in Him. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto Me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give in My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now, let's go back to our text in Acts chapter 4. How is it that this man is made whole? He was made to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ where he would not before. Just as you and I have been made to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ where we would not before. Aren't you thankful we weren't left to our own will? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I look back at my own will being exercised for 40 years, and boy, I sure got myself into a lot of trouble. I'm not so sure I can't say I don't get myself into a lot of trouble now, too. It's just not in the same way. Oh. Look at verse 10 again. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole." The path is narrow, folks. There's only one way to eternal life, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for His will, if it wasn't for His love for us, we'd be out there in the world running after a God of our own imagination, just like we were at one time. Aren't you thankful? Will you stand with me, please? I know it was a short lesson.